The former child actress Diane Lane has made a comeback in the last few years playing married women who rediscover their sexuality in the films A Walk on the Moon and Unfaithful. In her new movie, she stars as Frances Mays, the author of the surprise bestseller Under the Tuscan Sun. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
There's a very funny bit at the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's when Pee-wee Herman sells the story of his life to Warner Brothers and then goes to see the movie. He's played by James Brolin. His girlfriend is Morgan Fairchild. His 10-speed bike is a motorcycle, and he's fighting off ninjas. The Disney adaptation of Frances May's best-selling memoir Under the Tuscan Sun isn't quite that ridiculous, but I'd love to have seen Mays's face when she first got a look at the scene where Diane Lane, as the freshly abandoned divorcee, leaps off a tour bus in Cortona to bid impulsively on a 300-year-old house called Bramasole. It took the real Mays and her boyfriend, a muscular poet named Ed, years to find the place. And what did Mays think when she watched her cinematic self romping beside the sea with a hunk of burning Italian love and then jumping around in her lingerie chanting, "I've still got it"? Probably she thought about what she could do to that 300-year-old house with all that Hollywood money. Now, it's true, the action of the book wouldn't make much of a movie. It's a poetic meditation on finding oneself through cultural dislocation and manual labor, with side trips into Etruscan archaeology and breaks for recipes. It's not a lark. Mays's writing is prickly, and some of her descriptions feel fussed over. But I have a soft spot for it. I read it long before it was a bestseller, on my honeymoon, in Tuscany. I even stumbled on Bramasole and got a glimpse of the muscular poet trimming hedges and the author on her stoop. I've wondered in the intervening 7 years if tens of thousands of people haven't descended on the place and turned this idyllic refuge into a gawker's hell. They certainly will now, because the Disney adaptation, written and directed by Audrey Wells, will be a huge hit. It's a star vehicle for the marvelous Diane Lane, who here recycles her turns in A Walk on the Moon and Unfaithful, with a lot of added mugging. The early part of the film is like a slicker version of An Unmarried Woman. In San Francisco, book critic Frances gets the news from someone whose novel she panned that her husband is having an affair. Then, thanks to California's no-fault divorce laws, she has to sell her house to her adulterous spouse and his new bride. Then she's in a furnished apartment beside other suddenly singles who are wailing through the walls. Then two lesbian friends give her the gift of a tour of Tuscany, and the rest is history. Or, this being what's known as a chick flick, her story. Here is Frances with her Italian realtor in the throes of buyer's remorse.
This house has 3 bedrooms. What if there's never anyone to sleep in them? And the kitchen, what if there's never anyone to cook for? I do. I wake up in the middle of the night thinking, you idiot. I mean, you're the stupidest woman in the world. You bought a house for a life you don't even have.
Why did you do it then?
Because I'm sick of being afraid all the time, and because I still want things. I want a wedding in this house. I want a family in this house.
The significant part of that scene comes next. The realtor tells Frances about a railroad line built through the Alps, even though no train at the time could make the trip. The architects, he said, had faith that the train would be built, just as she must have faith that her house will be filled. And so the film becomes a female Field of Dreams. If you restore it, they will come. Italians, Polish laborers, the newly single lesbian friend from San Francisco and her unborn child, everyone comes to Bramasole to eat Frances's cooking and to bask in her maternal radiance. The picture practically ends with a fertility dance. And at a certain point, its spine softens. The grueling process of restoring the house with contractors whose culture she doesn't understand segues into cheerful montages. And even when Frances's heart is broken, it's a piddly little moment, too predictable. The film is fun early on for the tension between romance and reality, between the gorgeous, eternal countryside and the entropy of old houses and inconstancy of human nature. But then her world falls romantically into place, and the sense of wonder dies. And by the way, what do these people do for money? The most fascinating thing about Under the Tuscan Sun is what it says about the nature of our escapist fantasies. Once they were about getting out from under domestic obligations. Now they're about getting into them, preferably with acreage, views, and lots of guest rooms. The movie is like Lost Horizon, reimagined by a realtor.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.